Hi, this is Kristen Hatcher recording at you live from CES in Las Vegas. So prepare to set your brains on stun, people. You can't believe how big this place is. It is enormous, and there's so many lights and sounds and things. I've just been sort of wandering around in a daze most of the time. Hi, Brad.
Hi. Now, is that because of the drinking that you're wandering around in a daze, or is that because of it's actually big?
I thought we weren't going to talk about the drinking again.
Oh, that's right. What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. Well, we are actually, Brad and I have been fortunate enough to be invited to the Microsoft booth to do a podcast. And we have here with us Jenny Lam and Chuck Cummins from Microsoft. And they're going to tell us some of the new stuff that's coming up for Windows Vista.
Well, Jenny Lam is on the UI, is on the experience team. And so one of the things she does is make sure that the new Windows Vista looks and feels awesome. And so what we've seen in the beta, it looks like she's doing really well. Chuck Cummins, on the other hand, he's also on the experience team, correct?
Yes.
He does more on the UI design, working on dialogues, what sort of dialogue should stay and which one should go, maybe what should be displayed on them, and that kind of thing.
Let's start menu, taskbar, window frame, basically just all the core UI stuff.
All right. So what we'll do is we'll start with Jen, and I'll ask some questions. And then Kristen, we've only got two microphones here because we got our very fancy setup here. I mean, it's a giant sound stage. I mean, just try to visualize. We're in this huge sound stage, and there's a huge audience watching on right
now. Thousands of people.
Big thanks to Jed Rose for setting up this thing. I don't know how he arranged to get this stadium-sized area together.
And this 100,000-person audience.
Yeah, all that noise you hear in the background, those are actually people standing around watching right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Waiting on
Dog T-shirts.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Jenny Lam, first of all, if you want, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things you've been working on?
Sure. So lately, I've been working on, now that we've gotten a lot of the core functionality and visual design done with the UI, I've been working more on the content and these sort of big real estate pieces like desktop wallpapers and screensavers, in-the-box content, like new sample music files and sample video and sample TV, all that kind of stuff that leaves an impression about, you know, with users on what Windows Vista is.
Well, one of the things I've noticed in the betas is that the wallpapers that come with it just look spectacular. Are you involved on that at all?
Actually, yeah, but those are going to go away. those are placeholders. And the stuff we have coming up in RTM launch timeframe is new. So those were taken by Doug Evans in Seattle. And he did a private little photo shoot for us. It was just him and an assistant and myself, and we just gathered up some images and looked at his library and did a little photo shoot just for the betas.
Wow, that's quite a budget for stuff you're going to throw away.
It was done on the, you know, on the economical side.
So what kind of cool stuff in the final version, like in terms of wallpapers, for example, can the users expect?
Well, I think I don't want to discuss exactly what that is because that steals a little bit of the thunder away.
Right.
But I think what's reflected in the beta wallpapers is that it's high fidelity images. So the images we saw in XP were 800 by 600 JPEGs. And, you know, the industry has changed a bit, and we have higher resolution monitors, bigger monitors, and better hardware to accommodate higher fidelity images. And so that's what you'll see. You'll see these really great images.
So they're going to be photos still. I mean, kind of, they're not going to be graphic design, something that's made in Photoshop using, you know, layers and that sort of thing. Instead, it's going to be high resolution photography.
Primarily a high resolution photography that looks awesome behind glass, but also there's going to be a selection of images like these libraries. So we're going to have a lot more content. Like in XP, we only ship 4 images. We have 6 libraries that we're shipping, and they each have a theme. So there is one theme that will have some more rendered graphic images, but the photography is really what is so stunning on a nice display. So it's primarily photography.
Now, I also heard you work on the on some of the new screensavers, that after 75 years or whatever, we're actually going to see some new screensavers in Windows Vista.
Yeah, and actually, this is new. Not a lot of people know about this. Actually, you're probably one of the first people to talk about this publicly. But we have a new set of screensavers, and we updated Mystify, which has been in the box, I think, since 95. So we've updated that and left the name the same. So we hope that, you know, when users click on that and they expect what they, you know, have gotten in the past 10 years, they'll see something more beautiful and higher fidelity and smoother and more elegant.
How about the screensaver where you type in a name or something and it rotates around? Which one is that?
It's called Marquee.
Marquee?
Yeah, actually the cool thing is we threw out all the ugly ones, like 3D pipes, these like really archaic ones. But we kept 3D text because we got feedback from our small businesses that they use it. You know, they use it as a functional sort of display, a billboard for when they have people, you know, they've gone to lunch or maybe they want to type out the name of, or messaging around their boutique or their store. So we left that one in, but we updated the font.
Oh, good.
So that's a bonus.
Which brings up one of the next questions. Yeah. One of the big changes we're seeing in Windows Vista over previous ones is more consistency across the entire environment. Now, one of the areas you've been working on is the Sago UI font.
Right.
Previous versions of Windows had everything from MS Sans Serif, sometimes New Roman, and...
I'm so glad you noticed, because not very many people notice it. And in typography is actually the one UI element users interact with the most, whether they're reading it, scanning it, clicking on it, writing it, typing it. And in the past, we have had this sort of mixed grab bag of typefaces, with Windows Vista, we really were diligent about creating consistency with this brand new typeface. It's more open, and you'll notice that it's bigger. It's 1 point bigger, which is more readable.
Nine point,
and it's friendlier, and it's designed with ClearType in mind.
Yes, I was about to say when we were dissecting at Sago, we noticed that, unlike MS Sans Serif and Tahoma and the others, that Sago seemed to look better on ClearType. And we're trying to figure out, how did you do that?
Well, Tahoma and MS Sans are bitmap fonts. They're actually drawn with pixels.
Oh, really? I thought they were TrueType.
They're TrueType, but they weren't designed for the technology of ClearType, where we can, you know, determine the RGB values of the fringing on the side of the letter forms. And so Sago is actually a outline font.
Oh, okay, so it's vector-based.
It's vector-based, and it's been hinted. It's been hand-hinted by this master hinter in London. I think he's in London. His name is Thomas Rickner from Agfa Monotype. Brilliant hinter. He's like, there's only a few in the world. And so that's really the beauty of the type, is the hinting. It's not really the letter forms. The letter forms are really nice, but there's only so much you can do with nine, you know.
Well,
nine point.
Well, one of the things, by going to 9 point, how are you dealing with translation? Like when we, in our software, it's German. I mean, you Germans listening to this, your language is too long. So you take an 8 point font, you make it 9 point, and all of a sudden in German, everything gets cut off. How are you dealing with that?
Amazingly enough, Sago is actually character saving. I mean, it's in some cases...
Character saving?
Narrower? Yeah, it's narrower, but optically it feels more open and wider. So it's really, there's so much you can do with X height, which is like the height of a lowercase x, and the proportions of your stems and your descenders and your ascenders that create an optical illusion where the type feels bigger, but it actually is smaller. And so in some cases that we've run, Sago has been smaller. In some cases, it's been longer. It just depends on what you're typing, you know.
Right. But you've already got the beta. The beta is available in already German and some of the other non-Indo-European languages, probably. So
Sago actually font links to a bunch of other scripts like Hebrew and Thai and Arabic, which are really different types of fonts, and that you need. You need a lot more descender and ascender spacing. So we font link to those. It's not a full set, but it's a pretty big set. I think there are, about 2,000 glyphs in the set. So it's Sago is actually Latin, Greek, and Cyrillic.
Cool. Well, one of the things I think, besides obviously the glass that people are going to notice, is the new Microsoft Perl. That is at the in previous since Windows 95, we've had the big giant word start, which has of course led to endless jokes of why am I pressing the start button to shut down, which is I guess the Windows equivalent of the Macintosh, where we're why am I throwing things in the trash to open my, you know, get things out of my drive, but now I think enough people know what the start button does, and I think it's one of the more visually, you know, standout parts of the new user interface. You were involved in that design.
Yeah, and so was Chuck, and Chuck can comment on most of the, like, the, you know, functionality around it. But yeah, it's interesting when we went out and talked to people about what they recognize about Windows. We show them a picture, a screenshot, and they say, "Oh, I know that's Windows because it's got the start button in the lower left and the clock in the lower right." Those were like the two sort of, you know.
Well, until the Linux, some of the Linux vendors came on and started.
Yeah, so that's
poaching that,
which is an interesting point about. Yeah, trust and consistency and brand. But the start button's become this sort of beacon of Windows Vista. It signals change. It's a beautiful pearl, and we wanted to treat this element that's on top all the time, that users click on all the time, you know, hundreds of times in a day if they're a knowledge worker, to be like a gem. We wanted to treat it like a jewel and simplify it. And it always bugged me that the text to the right of it, the start button or the start text, wasn't kerned out right. You know, it was sort of, because it had to be localized. It was live text, right, Chuck?
Yeah.
It was always weird kerning.
It's Franklin Gothic, and Franklin Gothic wasn't designed. The version we used wasn't designed with clear type in mind, and it wasn't, you know, hinted for that usage. So, yeah. It doesn't look as good.
And Windows Vista also completes the transition that we saw with Windows 2000, where instead of things being on your desktop that you need, now everything is in that start menu. You no longer, and Windows 2000, for example, whenever you go on a Windows 2000 box now, it's what drives me crazy is, oh, I need to get to my computer and I have to minimize Windows. And and by Windows XP, it had, you know, I no longer had to do that, but the start menu was only semi-functional. Now, with the start menu, I can do searches, very easy searches. I don't have to go and click on search, bring up a horrible little dialogue with way too many options, and try to, and I don't have to sift through my programs all to find a Windows Terminal Server or something like that. Now I can just type in, start typing a name, it'll show up in there, show it right up in the start menu. The menus you hit all programs and you get overlapping, menus.
Right.
And that now it
cascading.
Shows up in the start menu nicely.
Right.
So check out
that. I love that search on the start menu. Like it's much better to not have to deal with those multiple columns. It's also cool because it doesn't just search for apps. It'll search for documents on your machine. It'll actually search for indexed drives. It'll search within the documents and it uses the whole search engine that's in there. And so it's great. You can find stuff really quickly with it, and I think.
Now, a lot of your work has been in trying to clean up the user interface so that it's consistent, simpler. There isn't so many. For example, you were involved on the design for where ISV software developers can now bring up simpler dialogues that they can customize relatively easily.
Yeah, we tried to do some things. So we're going to publish some user interface guidelines, just like we did for Windows 95. They're going to be more extensive. But we also try to do things to make it easy for developers to do the right thing as where we can. So, we created a new class of dialogues so that they can call it easily, and it'll just automatically follow the guidelines. And it has a lot more options available than the old message
right,
box,
message
which is
box,
really,
yes,
really
no,
rudimentary.
Cancel,
yes, no, cancel, and that's it. And it's the buttons are centered. Message box tends to get super wide. We've actually done some fixes to message box for Longhorn. So even if you are using that old message box call, it'll still look a lot nicer. The proportions of the dialogue come out nicer. Some of the visual
and the buttons are automatically centered even if you're using message box, aren't they?
Yeah, they're now on the right in message box, just like every other dialogue in Windows. So it's way more consistent and fits in. And looks much better.
Now, one of the questions that comes up all the time on NeoWin and on Win Customize and elsewhere is, Glass looks kind of cool, but it's probably more like, I bet you Glass is going to be replaced with something radically different, just like they did with watercolor back in Windows XP. Do you know, does Microsoft have a position on, is Glass, the user interface we're seeing, is it fairly resembling what the final version is going to look like?
Yeah. Okay. This is definitely not the the decoy UI style. This is our style, and okay. Right now it's all about just getting the details right. We're just spending.
So there may be some cosmetic changes, but it's not going to be like, well, here's watercolor, and it has this. And
no.
Now, oh, by the way, 2 months before we ship, we're going to go to this completely different.
No, definitely
thing.
Not. It's all about just trying to polish all the tiny details and make things look great. Just make things really feel perfect.
So Windows Vista has, it's unlike Windows XP and previously, which are based on GDI, which is a 2D sprite-based thing. Windows Vista is actually like closer to almost like a video game. It's on a 3D surface, which means it's hardware accelerated. What kinds of visuals and what kinds of little, that should, I would imagine that allows you to do a lot more flexible, gives you a lot more flexibility to add all kinds of neat effects.
Yeah, well.
Make it more clean, for example. What sort of things do you have in mind?
We did just some, there's a lot of little things, like the window animations. You know, in XP, it's basically a kind of this title bar that shrinks and grows to, it goes down to the taskbar. But now the windows kind of tip in 3D and fade out really quickly.
It looks nice too.
I think it's really nice. We spent a lot of time trying to get our animations to feel really responsive, not feel like the animation's getting in the way, not too whimsical.
How many focus groups were involved in deciding, well, should it be 500 milliseconds or 700 milliseconds? I can almost imagine the memos going back and forth. Well, it's 450 milliseconds. We think it's a little too fast now.
What we do is we build a lot of prototypes and look at this stuff. So we'll build a lot of director stuff, mainly, to look at the window animations. Like Don Lindsay had some great prototypes that he built. He's one of the designers on our team. And he just had it so that you could tweak all the angle of the spin of the window, the speed of it, the amount it faded out.
I hear that's all in the registry too.
And then the Avalon devs put those same values into the registry for us, so we could actually just play with it in the real product, because it's always different in the real thing.
Well, it sounds like some fun for Steve, who's around here somewhere. Steve Sizcheck, tweakvista.com, to play around with that sort of thing.
Yeah, very possibly, if they're still in the registry when we ship.
Now, one of the things in the new N5270, I believe, is that the latest one?
That's very close, yeah.
You now have what was previously being referred to internally as stained glass. Users now can change the opacity and the tinting of the UI, which is something a lot of us had requested. In fact, Stardock actually put out a freeware app saying, here, Microsoft will hopefully put something out there, but if they don't, here you go. Go nuts. Yeah, that's going to be one of the things that in Windows XP, you had blue, green, and
silver.
And if you didn't like that, tough. Now in Windows Vista, you'll be able to change the opacity of the glass as well as the color. And I noticed that the blur effect is still kind of a cool effect where it looks at what's behind it, and so the title bar still seem kind of dynamic, even at full opacity.
Yeah, and the glass is built from like four or five layers of different kind of highlights and things that move as you drag the window. So it's not like we just, you know, change the hue of the whole window, because it tends to flatten out the effect. There's a colored layer that gets changed, and you can control it, and it works really well. We're still kind of, the one in the builds now works well, but we think we can make it better. It is something we really wanted to do for XP, actually.
Well, it's
that kind of
tough, because you're
algorithmic color change, but just had to.
Well, one of the things we do that might make it easier is that right now you're tinting it, right? You're actually applying a color to a gray, whereas it's what we ended up doing on window blinds is making it so that we give it a color naturally, but because we want to be clear on it, we would then hue shift it so that was essentially a light gray. But that way, if you do it as a hue shift, you actually get a lot more control over the color.
Yeah,
on it.
Definitely.
But is there any thought to making it so it's a hue shift rather than a color tinting type system?
There's a piece that gets hue shifted. But you want to keep certain highlights on top white, otherwise you lose the depth.
Yeah.
So it's a question of like, but you do need to manage the opacity of those things. So if you have too many of them, the color gets kind of washed out, and you can't, like, if you really want a bright red glass window, then you can't get that. So that's the stuff we're struggling with now, how to kind of get that to still look like that nice deep glass effect, but not, you know, wash out when you have too many highlights on top. And I think we can get there, definitely.
That's cool. Well, one of the other things I know that some people in a beta are happy to see is that Microsoft's taking the icon issue seriously. I know Chris Perillo, who I was heckling earlier at length, is always a very big advocate of the icons. And I have to admit, I like to see nicer icons too. But apparently Windows Vista is going to have 1,200 new icons in it.
That's correct, yeah.
And it has a new icon format that supports up to 256 by 256
that's things, correct.
Which at that point, those are crazy. I mean, you're no longer making icons in some little icon editor. You're doing them in Illustrator. Now, what do you make your icons in, by the way?
It's a lot of work. It's amazing how much work goes into each one of those little icons. It can get very expensive very quickly. We start out just on paper, so you get the metaphor down right and the symbol down right, and that's one of the hardest things to do. And then usually we take it over to Illustrator or Photoshop, but probably Illustrator. And we create a foundation for the icon. And then we do a touch-up in Photoshop. And those are the subtle little nuances and edges and shadows, highlights that we get in Photoshop that we can really, really fine-tune. Then we go to we use several different programs. Axis Alias Workshop, Icon Workshop is one of them, or GIF Movie Gear. Yeah, we use those to export the images and all the source resources into an ICO file, an ICO file.
Now, one of the challenges on making icons is that you start out with a really large ping, which looks great at 256 by 256. How do you keep it from looking muddy when it's at 16 by 16 or 32 by 32?
Master artists, production artists who just can pixel poke like crazy.
So you do have, the new icons do have multiple versions down. There's a 256 by 256, 128 by 128, 64, 40 by 40, 32. Is it like that? Or
actually, yeah.
Is it an algorithm?
No, it's not. There's actually only three resources, I think. It's depending on some icons. Yeah, four actually. And there's some icons that don't even have a big resource if we only use them at a toolbar size or a command bar size, like 16 by 16. But there's 256 by 256, and that scales all the way down to 48. And then that goes down to 32, 24, if it shows up in the start menu, and 16 by 16. And the 16 by 16 are the killer ones,
Yeah, those are really painful. And then you have, in fact, the folders themselves can show what the contents are in the subfolder on that. And that actually has to be done dynamically. Is a folder icon actually a special type of icon then? Or?
That is. It's almost like an overlay effect that happens. Chuck, and you speak to it.
Yeah, it's got a couple. It's like a background piece, and then there's some code that distorts the three images that kind of get stuck into the folder, so they look like they're sticking in the folder. Then you lay that front face of the folder on top of it. And
well, that's cool.
It somehow magically works.
Well, I have to say, through it, especially Explorer, it is so much cleaner with the status part on the bottom. Though I'm not sure if you decided, if you figure out what you're going to do with the little star ratings and all that, because that's, most of the time that's not going to come into play. Like, yeah, that DOL there, that's a 3-star DOL. Or is it going to be context sensitive? Like, if it's an MP3, I might want to rate my MP3, but if it's a readme.txt, I mean, I probably don't care.
I think by default, we strive to have the right settings of properties in list view, right, Chuck?
Yeah,
we
list view. In the preview pane we've played with, how context sensitive should it be? Should it always be the same set of metadata, or should it be like really tied to the file type, or should it be really tied to the type of folder you're in? I'm trying to remember how it is right at the moment. I think what it does is if the thing's got metadata in those fields, it shows it. And if it doesn't, it just doesn't. So you're not typically going to have, like, you can have a null value for rating. And I think in that case, you just wouldn't see the rating field in the preview pane. In the list view, it's a setting that's per place, like per folder. So we'll just kind of design it so that it's there when it should be and not when it shouldn't be.
All right, now to conclude here, and ask the question you're going to get asked over and over, I'm sure, and that is, so it looks great, it's wonderful, it's going to be great for games, it's going to be great for great security, Windows Presentation Foundation's great. When are we going to get our hands on it? When is it going to ship?
The second half of 2006.
Ooh, that's vague.
I know it is. I know just as much as you.
So one wonders, will its availability be like the Xbox 360's availability? You know, where, it's technically out by Christmas, but it's hard to get.
What I know about the manufacturing process and packaging, because I work with the packaging folks on the new packaging, it all comes out at one time. I mean, discs are pretty easy to make these days. It's not
they had the manual done.
Yeah, it's not like a big console with hardware and controllers and stuff like that. So I have a feeling when it ships, it'll be available.
Cool.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you guys would like to add?
No, I think your skins are awesome and keep up the good work. And
all right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, it's good to see you guys actually going and doing some of those things that we couldn't do, especially that customization stuff, or that it's like somewhat of a small audience of percentage-wise of our users, but there's a huge number of people who get really excited about it. Yeah, so I think it's cool that you guys are doing that.
We figured there's around 10% of the market, maybe a little bit less, that really gets into personalizing your computer, just like there's people who tinker around with their cars. And Windows Vista is going to offer all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, like animated wallpapers become possible. That's one thing I like to see. We'll probably put a section on when customized. As soon as we figure out how to do animated wallpapers, we'll put a section up there, put out a program that makes it easy to do it, and off you go. Maybe you can make it a .x file or something, so that your water is just flowing and all that.
Okay.
And screensavers, once people start being able to, you know, take advantage of all the new stuff, they'll be able to do much nicer screensavers. And yeah, Windows Vista looks like it's going to be a dream for users at all levels, because it's really moved up into the, you know, the hardware acceleration and that sort of thing. And so thank you very much for talking to us, and
thank you.
Have a great show.
Yeah, thanks very much.
All right, see you later.